Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. And if you're wondering why the J, the answer is, I'm not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense, I encourage you to check out episode 0, where I explain that joke, as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where we talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast. I appreciate you so much being here. As always, friends, thank you so much. I appreciate people listening on whatever platform that might be, whether that be Spotify or iTunes, wherever you find me. And I appreciate you watching on YouTube as well, as we recently have launched on YouTube. I guess recently now would be a little over 3 months ago, so that means a ton. We've got some interviews coming up, but I've got another solo round for you because I'd like to share with you a bit of my talk from the No Limits Leadership Conference that we had a couple of weeks ago, where I talked about mindset. So if you didn't catch last week's podcast, I gave a summary, just sort of an overview of what the No Limits Leadership Conference was about. And really, the goal of that was to help us to remove the limiting beliefs, the thoughts that hold us back, both personally and then as we seek to lead others. And we just had a powerhouse of speakers that went before me. We had Chris Lohman, who is the Assistant Secretary of Defense. I mean, the Assistant Secretary of Defense, like the number two guy. And then we had Mary Tanos, who's been on the show multiple times, international business coach, vice president of Patriots Tax Service. And then we had my friend Susan Coleman. Susan is the director of marketing at Spotsy Regional and also a licensed John Maxwell coach. And they just brought the heat. They just brought so much good information. And tell you what, we had such a good vibe in the crowd. We had people who were just excited to learn and ask good questions. It was a long day, really was. 4 talks in 6 hours is a lot. I mean, we just tried to pack as much as we could in there. We had a time for people to get together. We had a fantastic panel discussion at the end. And so last week, if you missed that, go catch that. That was the overview of how things went. And then we also have videos of each one of the speakers. We also have a montage video of the whole event. Our next one is coming up on September 30th. If that link is live by the time this comes out, I'll have it in the show notes. Just phenomenal. But I referenced in passing my talk. Now, what I talked about at the end of the No Limits Leadership Conference was the power of mindset. Understanding the power of mindset as you think about yourself, the power of mindset as you are in community, and the power of mindset as it relates to personal achievement. So mindset for yourself, mindset for community, and mindset for personal achievement. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to reshare a story that I shared in my talk itself. And so for anyone who was there, I appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind, I'm going to reshare that story. I'm going to try to apply it broadly to all three of my points, but I want to share it with you here. So let me remind you of this. Now, I've talked about it here before. I was a high school English teacher, and I taught high school English at an alternative school in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. That alternative school was created by the school system to address the massive dropout rate in the Nash Rocky Mount school system. And so they wanted to create an opportunity for students who were expelled or just on the edge. And so to get to us, you either had to have been expelled or really close on the edge, right? So we had, like, for example, over 60% of the young women in our school were either pregnant or had babies. And so what often happens there is they wind up missing so many days they weren't going to graduate. And so we created a brand new system for us, and the school was called the Tar River Learning Center. And then we had some students who had gotten into behavioral issues, various other things. But it was a varied population of students, and they were a challenge. But I loved it. I was straight out of college. I was 23. My first day of teaching was the first day that the school officially was open. And I focused primarily on high school English, and I had a lot of freedom. I really did. More freedom. I don't know if you can get away with that much freedom now, but this was 1993, 1994. My first day of teaching was 94, excuse me. And basically what my principal told me was, you got to help these kids graduate, and they need to be able to pass their end of grade test. In North Carolina, they're called EOGs, end of grade. In Virginia, they're called SOLs, which is kind of funny. But EOG, end of grade test. And for example, 12th grade English was British Lit. So the only kind of literature you could use in the 12th grade had to be written by an author who was British. And so my principal gave me a ton of latitude. Teach them, use the curriculum in terms of like the literature you're supposed to be using. Get these kids to learn and graduate, pass their EOGs, and she really didn't care what I did otherwise. Like, she did not micromanage me in the midst of that, and I appreciate it. And one of the units that I enjoyed doing more than any other was the novel Frankenstein. I just loved it. Now, I don't know if you've actually read the novel itself. Many of us have seen a lot of different versions of it. But Frankenstein was written by Mary Shelley, actually written on a dare. She's sitting around with her husband and I believe, I forget who the other author were, and they were having a few drinks, and they said, hey, who can write a gothic horror novel? I'm confident it's not what they called it. But the idea was, who can write a scary story? And she was the only one who did it. And so she wrote Frankenstein. Of course, the story of Victor Frankenstein, and he creates the creature who does not have a name in the novel and brings him to life, and all problems ensue. And you may have seen the Boris Koloff version, or you might have seen Kenneth Branagh's version in the 90s. There's been a million different versions of Frankenstein. I love the novel. I love the story behind the novel. I love the different versions of it on the movies. Really, really loved it. Now, here's what I did for my students. Since it was such a short novel, we read the entire novel out loud. We would take a portion of class every day, and we would take turns and read. And I created a study guide of questions that helped my students both know what was going on and helped them go levels deeper. And so we would sit there and we would read, and then we would stop and we would answer these questions. I had these big study guide packets to help them understand the novel, because I wanted them to take the novel in completely. So that was one thing. And then we put on a play. And the design was, I had very small classrooms. I think I had 12 seniors that year. I was like, hey, here's what I want us to do. We are going to write a 15 to 20 minute version of Frankenstein. We're going to cover the whole story. We're going to write it, and then I'm going to direct it, and then the whole class has to play a part, and then we're going to put on a production of Frankenstein. Now, I'm just going to let you know now, this is not one of those School of Rock moments. We did not put on a production of Frankenstein that won any local awards. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we had one performance that my principal and the assistant principal and maybe a few other people watched, maybe five people. But that was the big project. We were going to read Frankenstein, we were going to do the study guide, we were going to take our test, and then all along we were going to write this 15 to 20 minute production of Frankenstein, and I was going to direct it, and then everyone in class had to be involved. So the big challenge for me was, which student is going to do what thing? Now, I had a student, I'll leave his name out of this, but he was a difficult student. Caused a lot of problems in class itself. Was really struggling for any chance to graduate, and I really didn't know what to do with him. So I thought through, okay, what are my options? I was like, well, I need to make him the creature. That would make sense. If I make him the creature in the play, he can identify by being an outcast. Maybe he can identify with not being understood and grow in that role. I thought maybe being the creature would help him. But then I thought, well, no, do I need to make him Victor Frankenstein? He can identify with, I'm smarter than everyone thinks. They don't understand me. You know, I've got things, I really want to be creative. And I'm bouncing around. I'm trying to figure out where to place him. And then it hit me one night. And I went in and I said, I'm not directing this play. He is. I was like, you're going to direct this play. And he's like, I don't know anything about that. And I was like, neither do I. I've never directed a play either. But what this did, it gave me an opportunity to meet with him on a regular basis. And he had to know the script. He had to know how to guide the students. And I got to see this young man transform from being a very angry, frustrated teenager who's about to drop out of high school. I got to see him become a director of a play. And he and I had almost daily conversations about what would make the play better. He had to learn how to communicate with the other students. He had to think about how is this going to represent itself in a way that communicates the power and the passion of the play. And, you know, in those few weeks where I had my student go from an angry, frustrated teenage student to the director of a play, I saw him flourish. Now, I can't tell you that it transformed him completely for the rest of the year. And to be honest with you, I don't know where he is today. I hope he graduated and went off and was able to create a fruitful life for himself. But as I look back to that, I ask, what changed within this one student? What changed with him? And what changed with him was this: what he thought about himself. That's what changed. He went from a young man who was angry. He went from a young man who doubted himself. He went from a young man who couldn't find a place to have influence or really power or authority anywhere, to being a young man who was able to express himself without anger. He became a young man who was able to have authority and power and influence over others in a way that didn't demand threats or violence. What changed was what he thought about himself. Now, that is a long story detailing the power of mindset. What you think about yourself dictates so much. What you think about yourself dictates how you think about you in every circumstance. If you think poorly of yourself, then you interact poorly towards yourself. If you think highly of yourself, that God has given you gifts and abilities, then you live out of those. Then that moves into community. Then how you think about yourself moves towards how you interact with others. Do you act with insecurity? Do you act with confidence? Do you act with hope? Do you interact with pessimism? It interacts with how you approach achievement. How you think about yourself will dictate whether you feel like you can move towards a goal or not. What you think about yourself will dictate whether you think you're worthy of thinking about yourself or not. And the central question is, well, Gordon, how am I supposed to think about yourself? And I can't ultimately tell you that. I'm going to tell you my approach, and maybe it'll be helpful to you. But see, I believe that every human being is created imago Dei. That's Latin for in the image of God. And forgive my enunciation for anybody who studied Latin. I believe that every human being is created with value, and worth, and dignity. Out of love, because I believe they're created in the image of God. Every single human being, no matter what, I can look at them and say, you have been created with dignity and honor and are worthy of love, because I believe that about myself. Oh, don't get me wrong, I doubt it. I have moments where I don't think about myself perfectly. But I know that I remind myself, Gordon, when I have self-talk, Gordon, you've been created in the image of God. You've been created out of love, worthy of honor, worthy of love, worthy of dignity. And when I interact with myself that way, when I remind myself of that truth every day, it moves me into community. I interact with myself that way, and I do my best to interact with others that way. Of course, I fail. Of course, I don't do it correctly. Don't do it perfectly. But I do my best to interact with others and say, you are worthy of dignity and honor. So my mindset, the way I think about myself, transforms the way that I interact with others. It's the way I look at achievements. I look at it and I go, okay, I've been created in honor and dignity, and I've been given gifts and talents, and I need to be faithful in managing or stewarding those. And so I can seek to achieve things. And even if I failed before, I start over day one again, I can try it again. That's the mindset approach I have. It's essential for you and for everyone to figure out what is the mindset you have about yourself. We'll find that we have a continuous loop of negativity that we play over and over again. We'll tell ourselves over and over again terrible things about ourselves. We'll accuse ourselves of things. We say things to ourselves that we'd never say to a human being, or sometimes we do, because how we think about ourselves spills over to others. But you might say, you're a failure, you're an idiot, you're dumb. You might say those things over and over again. I'm going to hope and pray you can move out of that, because the mindset we need to begin with, at least my approach, would be, no, you're created with honor and dignity, worthy of love, with gifts and talents that can be grown and stewarded. Your mindset about yourself determines the quality of your life, 100%. For that student of mine, he achieved just in that few weeks that we studied Frankenstein and put on that play, and he became the director. Those few weeks, he realized, wait a minute, I can interact with others peacefully. I can have power and influence and authority, and it doesn't have to always be yelling. It doesn't have to include threats or any of that. For that brief window, I saw that in him. I hope it was something that carried on with him the rest of his life. I have no idea. But for you, my encouragement here is this mindset reset would be asking yourself, what do you think about yourself? Is it true or is it untrue? Even if you've made mistakes, you don't have to identify yourself through your mistakes. And then do an analysis. How does my mindset affect my interaction with others? How does it interact with the way I seek achievements? And then seek on a regular basis, daily, to remind yourself of good, true things about yourself. And then you will see that transform the way you interact with others. And then you will see that it is how you will approach achievements and goals. Well, friends, I hope this has been encouraging to you. Thanks so much for tuning in again. If you've liked this, I would love for you to like it and share it on social media, leave a review, let people know that you like this episode, maybe share it over on your platforms or in your stories. That would mean a lot. Reviews mean a ton. Thank you so much. If you would like to pursue coaching, I have a coaching program called CapitalizeYourBest.com. It is geared towards the increasing of revenue, but we spend a lot of time in our first of four modules focusing on things like this, mindset and what we think about ourselves as it relates to goal setting. So the program is geared towards increasing revenue, but we do a deep dive on these kind of topics in the first module. Thanks so much for listening. And again, if you want to learn more about our coaching, you can find it at CapitalizeYourBest.com. And I can't wait to see you next week. Thanks so much, friends. Bye-bye.
How do you shorten the time it takes to buy a car? Car buying just got easier. Pohanka365.com lets you complete as much or as little of the car buying process online. Pohanka365.com. Car buying simplified. Anytime, anywhere.
Small business owners, you should be praised for wanting to grow your business. That's a good thing, and not everybody has the guts to do it. As a business owner myself, I know you've overcome obstacles that people don't even know about. Hi, my name is Gordon Duncan, the owner of Capitalized Marketing and Consulting, and I want you to know that if your business hasn't grown like you want it to, it's not your fault. If it's not COVID getting in the way, it's ridiculous things like changing social media algorithms. You're right in thinking that very few people are doing small businesses any favors right now. But Capitalized Marketing and Consulting is here to help. We've created a 90-day course that is guaranteed to grow the revenue of your business. It will give you the tools that you've been looking for. And as a certified coach, I would be with you along the way. If you would like to learn more about our program, just visit CapitalizeYourBest.com and get started enjoying the success you deserve. Again, that's CapitalizeYourBest.com, and I can't wait to celebrate all you accomplish.